Welcome to the Core Values Workshop. I'm Tony DiLorenzo.
And Elisa DiLorenzo.
And we have the number one marriage podcast on iTunes, reaching couples in 180 countries. And we want to thank you for joining us today. It's time to talk about how you can discover your true values as a person and as a couple. As we get started with this workshop, we want to let you know what's coming up. We have introductions. We're going to go over the core values, why you need them, and how to create them. And then we're going to go over questions and answers. What really matters? Nice to meet you again. I'm Tony.
And I'm Elisa.
And we're excited to have you on for this foundational workshop, the Core Values Workshop. Reason being is that we have found over the years of working with many couples that most couples, and we can attest to this ourselves in our own marriage, is that we sort of floundered for a while, not really knowing who we were as a couple, as a team. When we were able to find out about our core values as a team, it's amazing what's happened. And through that, we've been able to use that for many decisions in our marriage and in our family as well. So tonight, that is what we're going to be covering.
And as we share with you tonight, it's our desire, and it's actually, you know, something that we've recognized for a long time, is that Tony and I want the best for our family of four, but we also want the best for our one extraordinary marriage family, mm-hmm. and that's all of you. And so whenever we discover something new or we come across something that we want to make sure that all of you have it so that your marriages and your families can go to the next level.
What we're going to cover, the who, what, when, why, where, and how of creating your core values.
So it's kind of like going back to school. Remember when, you know, in science class, there were all of those different questions that you had to answer to, you know, get to the bottom of a problem. The who, what, when, why, where, and how. But most importantly, the how. The reason that we answer all of these other questions before that is that it's so important to understand the background behind values and the worth that they can have in your marriage and your family. And as we go through this workshop today, it's our wish and our prayer that you will realize the importance of creating core values for your family and jump right in to how to do it yourselves. So how this made a difference in our family. This is actually our Christmas card picture from last year. That young man on the right is a middle schooler, and the beautiful smiling girl in the front is an elementary school child. And you know, we've done virtually all of their lives, and quite honestly, most of our marriage, without having core family values. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tony and I knew what was important to us individually, and we would kind of talk about things and sort of say, well, you know, that's important to me. But it was never anything that we took the time to really figure out what that was for us as a couple and for us as a family. And so in doing this, we had to sit down and actually get into the process. So doing this exercise that we're going to lay out for you over the course of the workshop has had such a tremendous impact on our family, on each one of the four of us. It's brought us closer together. I mean, anytime you do something with your children and with your spouse, it has the opportunity to it becomes one of those foundational memories.
Yeah. And here's a prime example. The other night, Elisa and I, we finished off a half a gallon container of ice cream. Now it didn't start with a half a gallon.
Thank you.
Very little left because the middle schooler and the elementary schooler ate most of it. What Elisa and I thought would be funny, we were sitting down to watch a show that we enjoy watching. But we thought, you know, wouldn't it be funny to empty out the ice cream container and just put it back in the freezer?
Now, part of the reason for this, and I just want to share this, is that our middle schooler will often do this. Like, he'll leave just the barest minimum of milk or the barest minimum of orange juice so that when somebody picks up the container, they're just so disappointed that,
it's not there. Really? Like, why didn't you just finish it? So our whole intent was, hey, let's put this in there as a joke, as something funny for our middle schooler to walk in, get it, and see nothing there. And we could just have a laugh. Unfortunately, the next day, our elementary schooler walked in, to the freezer, grabbed the container of ice cream, opened it to find nothing. And with that came tears and her being upset over the situation that she's not going to have ice cream. And during that, she was talking to Elisa.
And we're going to show you our core family values here in a little bit during the workshop. But she looked at me and she said, "Don't we have honesty or integrity or truth telling or something like that on our board? Why are you doing that?" And she was so hurt. And it really, because she has that foundation, and that's another benefit that we've seen, is that it's given our family a shared foundation. Because she knows where those words are, because she knows that we've done this as a family, she immediately reverted back to that to say, "Wait a minute, this is not what we've based our family on." And so it really became a fabulous talking point. And, mm-hmm. you know, ultimately, as another benefit, it holds us accountable to one another, because I had to answer to my daughter why I wasn't being completely, I'm going to say, adult about the situation, because we were really probably acting more like middle schoolers. But a couple other benefits that we have found is that it has created a basis for our decisions. And we're going to share throughout the workshop how that happens. It's given everyone in our family a voice. Not only were our children instrumental in creating our core values, but like I shared in that situation with our daughter, they also use those values to, you know, be able to say what's important to them. You know, and so we've had all of these benefits, and when we realized the impact it was having on our family, we realized that we needed to share it with you, because we want your family to have the same benefits. So what does this word value really mean? I mean, the idea of values is not a new one. It's not like Tony and I came up with something revolutionary here. It's often talked about in business circles. You hear a lot of talk about corporate values, and couples will talk about what they do value, but for the most part, there hasn't been a process to get clear on this for your marriage until now. Because when you Google the word value, this is what pops up on your screen: a person's principles or standards of behavior. So let's focus on just that one section for a minute. Standards of behaviors. This is talking all about your actions. What do you think, or what you think is important in regard to how you act? So do your actions match your words? And it goes back to that expression, don't just tell me how you feel. Don't just tell me what's important to you. Show me. Because as we've discovered, and as I know that you've discovered in your marriage, the values come out through what a person does and their actions. The second part of the Google definition is one's judgment of what is important in life. Judgment of what is important. Every single one of you listening to this has a different judgment on what is important in your life. And that's okay, because we're all designed to be different. You know, the point I'm trying to make is that this judgment, this placing of value, really does matter and impact all aspects of your marriage. Because what you find to be important will impact how you treat your spouse, how you work, how you interact with others, how you handle money, how you parent, and so on. So we're talking about how what is important to each one of you will influence your behavior. Because the truth of the matter is that what you do, so your actions, and who you are, your self-image, and what you say, your thoughts, are all influenced by what is important to you, what you value.
And here's something I want to say about this, as you really start thinking about what we're covering, what we're going over. So think about a ship or a sailboat, and it's in the ocean or it's in a lake, and it has no rudder. It has no rudder. And a rudder basically steers that boat or that sailboat or that ship from one place to the next. So basically, it's just bobbing along, hoping that it's going to get to where it wants to go. Unfortunately, it can't, because it has no device, a rudder, to help it get there. So your core values are almost like your rudder of your marriage. You know, it's giving you that foundation. It's giving you that piece, that device to go, this is who we are, and we can meander through this journey of marriage, but at least we know we have something that's holding us down into that foundational piece and going, this is who we are. And if we, hey, believe me, Elise and I, since we've put ours up, we've had a look at ours many a times and going, yep, you know what? That is what we value. And we need to really think about how we are going to step forward in this area of our lives with each other, with our kids, with other relationships, friendships, you know, those that we serve at church. And so it gives us that rudder, that ability to go, this is who we are.
So what matters to you? This picture on the right there, I focus on what matters. This was a picture that I'd put up on our Instagram, oh gosh, probably 6 months ago. And it was amazing to me the impact that it had, because, you know, what I learned through having it up there is that values are so individual. What people focus on varies from person to person. And as you start thinking about, like, what do I value? What do we value? You know, when Tony and I started this process, we were getting word lists and things like that, you know, Googling like value words and whatnot. And I mean, some of these lists are, you know, 200-400 words long, and it can be just almost overwhelming. And yet at the same time, having that many different choices is really fabulous, because it allows you to drill down into what are those words? What matters to me? And I want you to know that as you go through this, the thing that you're going to discover is that your values will always rise to the surface. There are going to be words or ideas that deeply resonate with who you are and what is important to you. And if I could encourage one thing, is that you need to embrace this discovery process. You need to go, okay, you know what? I'm going to go with this. I'm going to see where this journey takes me. Because any time that you can create a better understanding of who you are and what is important to you, your marriage is going to grow and become stronger. And there isn't a single one of you that is listening to this that doesn't want a stronger marriage. I mean, you invested in this program as a demonstration that relationships matter to you, that your marriage matters to you. And I'm guessing that maybe for some of you, you're going to discover that relationships or knowledge might be one of your core values. So what's going to happen in this process? And what happens as a result of this process? What happens when the two of you have determined the core values for your family? It's a beautiful thing when you have a foundation to work off of for all of your decisions. You know, things are no longer left to chance or to whimsy. When you know your values, you know what truly matters to you. You discover more about yourself, about your spouse. If you have kids, about your kids. You're going to put into concrete words what is important to all of you, and ultimately create a blueprint for your marriage.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing here is, you know, what happens in this process is that you begin to learn what your spouse values. And as you learn those, that is a key, that's a key component for each of us. You know, when we're looking at certain things and what does our spouse truly value, and looking at those, and then when they're up on your wall and you're looking at them, you're just going, wow, now I understand. And I can totally be in line with that. And so through this process, you guys are going to go through words and go, is that who we are as a family? You know, and drill it down. And we're going to get to that here shortly.
So what are your family's core values? This image that you see here, this is our family values. This is what hangs in the stairwell that we pass every single day. I mean, I don't know how many times the four of us go up and down the stairs, but these words greet us going down the stairs. They greet us coming up the stairs. And, you know, each and every one of you, your family has its own identity. You know this looking at your friends, looking at your kids' friends, at your family, your spouse's family. You know, different things are important to different families. Some families value travel and adventure. You know, these are the families that always seem to be going some new place or trying some new recipe. Some families, for them, it's togetherness. It's sitting down to dinner every night. I was just actually talking to one of our daughter's friends, and they were sharing, the mother was sharing that this is one of the things that they do. She said, 5 out of 7 nights, we are together as a family. Togetherness is one of their values. For some families, faith is a core value. And, you know, this is the family that, that prays together, that does devotionals, that, you know, prays for each other, that attends church together. Some families value fitness or exercise. That's not up on our family values, but it is still something that is important to us. I mean, I'm married to a cyclist, the mother of a football playing, basketball playing, lacrosse playing son, and mother to an aerialist, cheer stunt tumbling daughter. We have a lot of fitness and activity in our house. You know, some families will actually have family as one of their core values because they value that close family relationship. They value, you know, everybody gets together every weekend for everybody's birthday parties, for all the extended cousins and things like that. The core values are those values that matter, that are so important to you and your family, be it you and your spouse, you, your spouse, and the kids, that you base your life around those values. These are the words and the beliefs that your family unit has determined are the most important words to you. So we talked about the what. Now we need to talk about the why. Why are values important to you, to your life, to your marriage, to your family? From the day that you were born and named, identity has been important. You know, we don't go around saying, hey, you. Hey, you. No, you have a name. You have an identity. And the same thing is important about intentionally creating a family identity. Through your values, this strengthens your bonds. Knowing what's important to each of you, in this process of defining your values, it creates a stronger identity for all of you. And this sense of identity, this understanding of what is important to the family as a whole, creates an environment of belonging, of acceptance, and of understood expectations. And I will, for those of you that have children, this idea of laying the foundation for the expectations from a very early age is important, because when they see words like on ours, it says, you know, relationships, and it says perseverance. You know, these are core values that we want our children to embrace, so that when things get tough, they know who they can rely on, and they know that we expect them to keep going.
Yeah. And on the other side of this, for those of you who've been married 5, 10, 15, 30 years, you know, this is just as important, because you're in different stages and areas of your life. And at any point in time, I think this is absolutely important. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Elise and I didn't do this until we were 18 years married. So just realize this is good for everyone.
So why have core values? And for those of you that have listened to the podcast, you know that we talk about being intentional. And if you've never listened to us on the podcast, we talk about being intentional about your life a lot. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is that too many people today are just going through life reacting to it. You know, it is what it is. You know, whatever happens, happens. And this can be an exhausting way of doing life. There's no plan. There are no goals. You're just reacting all the time. And that takes such a tremendous toll, both physically and emotionally. And I'm guessing that a few of you listening here know what I'm talking about when I talk about that reacting fatigue. And I'm curious to just kind of throw these questions out there to get you thinking about why have core values. I'm wondering, you know, what if you spent the time to identify what was important to you? What if you determined today or tomorrow those standards of behavior that you were going to aspire to? What if you made a personal judgment of what is important in life? Do you think your life would look different? Do you think you might make some different decisions? And I'm just going to go ahead and answer that for you and say, you know, a very emphatic yes to both of those questions. And the reason why is because when you know what is important to you, you begin to make decisions that are in line with that. You weed out those things that don't match up. You bring people and experiences into your life that are congruent with your values, and you say no to the things that don't match up. So, who is involved in the process? I hope you can all see those puzzle pieces there on the right-hand side, which says me and you. That's you and your spouse. And at the very least, it is the two of you. For those of you that have been married, I mean, like Tony said at the onset, we've been married 19 years. And we have both figured out over that period of time that marriage doesn't work so well as a dictatorship. You know, when one of us...
Nope.
You guys couldn't see it. Tony was shaking his head. He's like, that just does not work.
It doesn't.
Because if one spouse or the other makes blanket declarations about the direction of the family, most likely the other person's going to dig in their heels and put up a concrete wall and say, nope, not doing that. So this process of determining your core values, it's a process that requires the two of you, and it requires you to be two things. It requires you to be fully present and fully engaged. So just as a side note, this is not a process that you do with your phone anywhere near the table. Because if you're like us, every once in a while, if the phone is near the table, it gets looked at more than the other person does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the distraction comes in and you lose focus. And right now, through this process of coming up with your core values, you need to stay focused. What I would suggest is, you know, set a timer. Mm-hmm. You know, if you guys can only do 30 minutes, then do 30 minutes. Plan out doing, you know, 2-3 sessions at 30 minutes each. You know, plan it so that way you guys get the best results and are able to move through this In a fairly quick way. You don't want to sit on this forever. This isn't one of those things like, hey, we're going to do 30 minutes this month, and then 6 months later you pick it up. You know, really just sort of find some time, 1-3 spots, and just really get in there and do this together.
And, you know, again, going back to the point of, you know, not being a dictatorship and that it does take two. The other reason for that is that you both need to have a voice in what's important to your marriage. I have my own individual values and Tony has his own individual values. And I will tell you that not all of those individual values ended up on our final list because it involved conversation and it involved, you know, back and forth. And we're going to talk through some of those questions here in a few minutes on what we used. But to bring your individual values to the marriage, you've got to actually sit down and talk about it. And it becomes this very good communication exercise that brings in grace and understanding and love. And, you know, as we talk about who can be involved in this process, for those of you that have kids, obviously we do, you saw ours there in the opening pictures, your children should be included up to the best of their abilities. And we've got some guidelines here in a few minutes too on recommended suggestions as far as age, but don't make this a dreaded exercise for them. Like, we're going to sit down and we're going to pound out our family values. No. They want to do something fun. So for them, you know, ask them questions. And we've got some specific questions that work well with kids because obviously we've got two in two different age groups and we're going to share those with you. But, you know, children bring through some valuable insights. And when we talk about the kids here in a few minutes, I'll tell you our daughter's first word when we asked her one of the questions. So where should you do this? You know, is it something you sit around the kitchen table? Do you sit on the couch in the family room? The most important decision about where to do this is where is neutral ground? This is actually a picture. This is not a beach that we've been on, but we did ours when we were on vacation. And the reason for it is we were out of the house and it was just a good time to sit back and relax. And, you know, when you're doing big projects as a family, you know, these communication exercises and things like that, there's a lot of value to being in neutral ground, be it out at a park, at the beach, someplace that's energizing and fun, not someplace where, you know, if you typically have like your sit down disciplinary discussions around the dining room table, then the kids probably aren't going to want to sit down around the dining room table and do a project. If, you know, the family room's got too many distractions, don't be in a place that has too many distractions. I mean, think through how you're going to do this. Like I said, our friends, did this while they were on vacation too. They were on this big family reunion. Do you remember that story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With them. And so it was like, you know, the wife's parents and all of her siblings. And so there's cousins, there's kids everywhere. And her dad, so the kids, you know, the couple's parents handed out to all of their adult children this idea that they were going to sit down and do family values. And so it was like this big family reunion exercise for them. And they all came back with their list of words on what it meant to them. And it was interesting for them to, you know, share as a family, as multiple family units, how important this was and how it has impacted all of their marriages going forward.
Yeah. And like Elisa said, for us, you know, even though we were on vacation, we made sure to step outside. We just sat on the balcony and we just took some time. It was Elisa and I, the kids were inside because we knew the initial part of this had to come from us. And so, you know, we just made sure we took some time. I think we, the first session was about an hour because we just had some time and we just sat out there and we got through this and we started working through that. So find a place. If you can't get away, you know, if you can't find somewhere like, oh gosh, I got to go on vacation. No, you don't. You can go to a park. You can go to your backyard, you know, just set up some chairs in the backyard on an evening, you know, as it cools off and just start looking at that.
So when should you do this? The big win? Now. If you're engaged, and we know we have a lot of listeners to One Extraordinary Marriage who are dating and engaged or thinking about getting married, start working with your fiance on this before you even get married. You know, if you're recently married, sit down now and decide what you want your future to look like. If you've been married 5, 10, 15, 20, I know we had, just as a note from somebody that was coming on the recording, that they'd been married, I believe, was it 37 years?
Yeah.
And they were joining us for the workshop. Know that it is never too late. You know, as we've shared throughout this workshop already, Tony and I didn't do this until we were married 18 and a half years. And you know, this is the first time, you know, we did this in the last 3 months,
yeah,
give or take, that we did it. And you know, even though we did all of those married years without this, it is now impacting all of the years left to come. And the sooner in your marriage that you begin to create this list, the sooner your marriage and your family is operating under a plan, being intentional instead of just winging it. So the second part of the win is, when should you revisit these values? You know, we've talked about in the last slide, we talked about all of the reasons when you would want to start doing them. But there's also some key times in a marriage that you may want to revisit your values and make sure that all of you, especially if you've added kids to the mix from when you first did it, are not only in agreement with what those values are, but also in alignment with them. Like, let's say you've done this prior to you getting married. On your honeymoon, now that you're kind of past all of the hubbub of, you know, planning and what's our wedding day going to be like, you know, look at those and go, okay, is this really where we want to launch our marriage from? Is this really, you know, what we want to be known for as a family? You know, when you start having kids, that's a good time to look at those values and say, is everything that we have up here, are these the values that we want to raise our children with? Are these the guiding principles that we want for their lives? And I will tell you that there are a lot of voices out there competing for your children's attention and for their, you know, all of their brain energy. Your voice as their parents, your voice in terms of what the values are to live by needs to be, it is the first voice. It needs to be the strongest voice. Another time to revisit is when you're making a large financial purchase, like buying a home or buying cars or, you know, making a decision on, you know, any type of investment or things like that.
Retirement.
You know, are you choosing these financial decisions in areas that are in alignment with your values? And, you know, this came up in a discussion that we were having with some friends. One of their core values is hospitality. Mm-hmm. And so as they were looking, they were, you know, planning to sell their current home and looking for a different home. And so as they were looking at homes, the wife knew that she wanted to have a great, like, kitchen, great room. I'm like, family room, great room area, because hospitality and entertaining matter so much to them that that came out in what they were looking for in terms of their purchase. Now, for somebody else that's not hospitality driven, you know, you have to ask yourself, are we just buying a big house because we just want to keep up with the Joneses? And that's where you come back to, is this in alignment? Is what we are doing with our financial decisions in alignment with our values? You know, another area is, you know, moving or job changes. And, you know, some of you may, as you go through this, have a core value of adventure or trying new things. And so do making these changes of, you know, maybe moving to a different part of the country or taking a new job, do these stay in alignment with your core values, or do they put you out of alignment? I mean, one area specifically when it comes to jobs is, you know, if you have a core value of family time, and you're looking at a job, and when you're being told what the job description is, and they say, you know, you're going to be traveling 50% of the time, and we expect you at the office, you know, 10 hours a day. Well, if you've got little kids and one of your core values is family time, then you need to think, am I going to feel out of alignment, which is feeling like stress or anxiety? You know, those are typically when you're out of alignment, that's what you feel like. If I take this job, or do I need to look for something else that allows me to not travel so much, that allows me to be home with my children? These are just some of the areas where we've seen through other couples that we've shared this workshop with and things like that, that when they start to have this blueprint, these are those big decision areas across the board that make you say, you know what, we can just revisit this in like 10 or 15 minutes. So we've been talking about all of those other questions, the when, the why, the where. Now it's time to get into the how. How do you make this all happen? And I just want everyone to take a collective deep breath, because we've outlined the entire process for you. I know Tony's throwing things out there like 30 minutes here and 30 minutes here. And he shared how we took an hour here. We've outlined the process. So it doesn't have to be overwhelming. You all should have received in one of your emails the workbook that came with this workshop. So you've actually got, you know, you can print it out. You've got a paper copy that we're going to talk about here over the next few minutes. And we're just going to outline it in more detail so that by the end of this workshop, you can take your workbook, you can schedule time with your spouse, and you're going to end up creating this blueprint for your marriage. And we are so excited to be able to share how that happens. So the very first thing that you need to do is you need to start with your individual word lists. And this is actually here on your screen is the actual finding your family core values word list. And I think there's what, like 186 words on there or something like that.
Something in that realm. What we ended up finding is, like Elisa said earlier, there are so many lists, and there, a lot of them were just way overwhelming, and it got a little hard, you know, when we were looking through all of ours, you know, that we had like four lists, I think, out, and we're looking at one and then looking at another. And so we compiled the best words that we could come up with. Now, not to say that this is exhaustive, you know, you may have something that may be, you know, that may be outside of this, that's okay. Google it, pull out your dictionary, and go from there.
And feel free, you know, if you're going through here and something just keeps like resonating up inside of you, feel free to write the word on there. Mm-hmm. You know, if something comes up, just, you know, there's a word that you want to put on there, just write it on. So, you know, make sure that you print this out, because this is the very first step. So the next thing that you need to do is not circle every word on this list, nor find yourself in a position where you've got like three words circled. And the reason for it, you see all these different numbers here, and I loved this picture because I was like, sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes you're like, I don't know, do I have 73? Do I have 32? Do I have 58? And, you know, really you should have a minimum of 10 and a maximum of 30 to 35. And these guidelines are here to ensure that you have enough words to discuss with your spouse or your family, but not so many that you feel completely overwhelmed. So go with your gut on your word choices. Don't overthink this. And, you know, I know some of you are your analyzers in terms of how you process and things like that. Go with your gut. You know, mm-hmm. just break out of that for the short period. Just go with your gut instinct, whatever you want to call it. Then circle the words on your list, you know, because ideally you would each print out one copy of the word list for each of you. Don't try and use the same list. Tony and I did that with one, and it gets super confusing. So learn from our mistake, print out your own list. And then the very first step in your workbook is to write down your words. So, and again, one other thing I want to say about this, don't try and guess which words your spouse wants you to write down on your own list, right?
Right.
This is one of those areas where the first part of this exercise, this is all you. You know, this is where you write down the words that are individual to you, that resonate with you, and put those in step one. And again, we've got, you know, up to 35 there
for you. Yeah. So what I would say with this too is, when you're going through that word list, especially that first time, just go down that list and just circle. Don't think, just circle. And you know, when you're done, look at it. Do you have 10? Do you have 15? Do you have 20 words? If you do, you're good. You know, just free flow, allow yourself just to just let loose and just put those words down that really that you see and that you desire your family core values to be. And for some of you who've been married for a long time, these words are going to come quick because you know them. They just haven't had words put to them sometimes, or you're just going, oh, wow. Okay. You know, like for us, you know, relationships, when I was going through that, relationships, just, it popped off the paper. That's what I would say. Get those words that are just popping off the paper to you that first time around, because that's your gut. That's you just going, that's who we are. And I bring up relationship because Elisa and I, you know, for a while back, we were having an event called Second Saturday Nights. And Second Saturday Nights, where we would invite all our friends from San Diego that were here in town. And some of them weren't even in San Diego. We'd invite them down as well. And we would just put on this huge party. And Elisa and I would provide the entree, which was usually like a barbecue or something, or sometimes a pizza. And everybody else would do a side or a dessert. And that to us was magical. Because it's us just being around folks that we just love and having new folks meet each other. So it's those relationships that we just enjoy. So look for those that just pop up.
So the next step, because there are his and her words, is to make a list of the words that you have in common. And, you know, truth be told, there are a lot of words on this list. And some of you may, as you're going down, find that you have words in common. And some of you may go down the list and find out that you don't have any words in common. Either scenario is perfectly okay. Again, this is an individual exercise to start with, and then it kind of becomes a joint exercise. But if you do have words in common, then step two on page 3 of your workbook is to list those words. Because here's the thing. Those are the words that you start working with if you do have them in common. Because guess what? You're already both thinking about it. They start your list.
Right. And again, for Elise and I, relationships was one. Faith was another. Trustworthiness. I think at first it was integrity, and that word sort of molded into trustworthiness or trustworthy. So there were a few words there that on our list, on my list and her list, that boom, right off the top, 1, 2, 3, we got them. And now we're going to start honing in on those other ones.
So the next step is to look for words that are similar. Like Tony just mentioned, integrity and trustworthy were words that were similar. And so we had to start kind of narrowing down, you know, what does that word mean to each of us? You know, and sometimes it's just a matter of definition. I mean, there were a few words that we actually, truth be told, we did pull out our phones because we were on vacation, so there was no handy dictionary. But we did pull out our phones just to kind of Google some of the definitions to say, okay, which one fits us better? And, you know, so we asked the question, what does that word mean to you? Or how do you understand that word? And so we started going through and we put those words that are similar on, you know, page 4, what words are similar? Because as you start to hone that down, you have that list of words and you're like, okay, which one is the best fit for the two of us?
And the best way to do this is give examples. So when you're looking at a word such as integrity, okay, we can look at the definition. We go, well, integrity is this. Okay, that's what the dictionary says. And yet, what does it mean to you? Give an example of what integrity means. It allows your spouse to understand where you're coming from, and vice versa. This way you're looking at those similar words and going, well, wait a minute, we're talking about the same thing. So is it trustworthy or is it integrity? And sometimes it's just, you're looking at the word and you're going, gosh, really? I just like the word trustworthy more, you know? So I think examples sometimes are better than just going hard, cold facts of this is what the definition is. The definition definitely helps you, and yet you can give examples of when you're being trustworthy or when you are, when integrity is being applied in your life and in your family.
So next, you want to have a discussion of each other's word choices. And please note that we did say a discussion. So there is conversation, there is give and take. One of the beauties of doing an exercise like this is that you have an opportunity to not only listen to one another, but an opportunity to, you know, understand and ask questions about your spouse's point of view. And we want to go back to something that we said earlier in the workshop, is that the when you build a stronger foundation for the two of you, that's priceless. And that should be the goal of any type of exercise like this, is to strengthen your marriage.
Yeah. And again, with this one, if there's a word that isn't working, like you guys are just like, pass on it. Don't sit on it for 20 minutes. It's just not worth it. Free flow through the other ones, because the other words might come up that you're like, ooh, definitely want that one. Ooh, definitely want that one. And as you come back around, you may find that that word that you guys were starting to like butt heads a little bit about isn't even in the top 10. It just sort of goes, eh, whatever. So just keep rolling through this stuff. Don't get so entrenched and rooted that you miss out on the greater opportunity, which is finding those 10 words that really define who you are.
And, you know, just real quick, in your workbook, there is a page 5, step where it says step 4, words that are only on one list, mine or yours. Put those words down there so that you just have a collective space to open the discussion. And in opening that discussion, you know, we've provided you with some empowerment phrases so that, you know, these questions don't come with judgment. You want to keep judgment of word choices out of this exercises, because judgment automatically shuts down communication. It doesn't help. So these are questions or phrases that you can use. You know, what does that word mean to you? It's like Tony was saying, don't just use the dictionary definition, but tell me what you think that word means and how it applies in your own life. Or make us
go ahead. It's just really interesting when you ask those, though, because you start to see your spouse and how they see the world, how they see your marriage. And it's just eye-opening. And if you're willing to just sort of sit back and go, what does that word mean to you? And just sit back and listen to them.
You know, make the statement, in my opinion, that word means, or from my perspective, or ask, what do you like about that word? What resonates with you? These are phrases, you know, print out this slide. I know we're going to be sending you guys copies of all the slides to print this one out so that you've got it. And you know, honestly, just as a side note, you can use these empowerment phrases in any communication discussion that you guys are having.
Yeah,
you
sure
can say, what does that mean to you? Or from my perspective, or what do you like about this? Or what resonates with you? Print these out and just have them just to overall improve your communication. So I promised you that we would just give you a little insight into working with your kids. And sometimes kids are superheroes and sometimes they are, you know, full of imagination just like this. And you know, we want to just give some rough guidelines. Now, your children can be, you know, outside of these guidelines and you know them best, but this is just some suggestions. You know, 0 to 5, you're going to have minimal input or interaction from them. I mean, obviously, if they can't talk, they're probably not telling you what words, you know, and things like that. Those that are kind of in that 6 to 10, the full list of words might be too much for them. It might be, you know, overwhelming. They might not even know what a lot of those words mean. And so to ask them, you know, if you had to describe our family, what would you say? Or what words would you choose to describe our family? And I promise you, I would share a funny story. So when we did this with our children, our daughter, the elementary school age one, she immediately just looked at us with, you know, straight look on her face. And she's like, well, obviously weird. And Tony and I both just sat there stunned. And we're like, weird. Okay. And so we had to go back to those questions. Like, tell us why you think our family, like that would be one of our values. And she had a great explanation. Her brother, who doesn't always use the empowerment phrases, shot that word out of the water. But it allowed us to have insight into how she views our family and what she thinks about our family. And while it didn't make the list, one of her words is on the list. And that is a key thing too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for those of you that have, you know, those middle schoolers and up, give them the full list and do the exercise together. And most importantly, be open to family discussion, be open to learning what they want to share and how they want to share with you, because it really helps to strengthen and build those family bonds.
Yeah. And one thing I would suggest, you know, especially that 6 to 10, you know, look at some of your words, ask them, you know, give them cues to sort of think through things. And then, you know, for the most part, you know, make sure that one word comes from each of your kids. Really, I think that's the key here is, you know, make sure that as parents, we are lifting up our kids and just finding, okay, well, what's that one word? And I remember just doing this even with our kids as we were looking through and, you know, they had a few of their own words and we're like, all right, well, what's the one that really resonates with you and who we are as a family? And you know what? You could just see them light up. You could just see them light up when we said, yep, that one made the list. And so, you know, empower them that way to really have a say. And again, for us, you know, they had 3 or 4 words and we had to whittle it down to one each. And we got them, I think three of the words came from the kids.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so as you've been going through each one of these steps, you've been whittling down this list of, you know, maybe somewhere between 30 and, you know, 70 words, depending on how many you actually started with. And ideally, you're going to end up with about 7 to 10 words. And that's, you know, page 7 of the workbook, your final word list, determining your core values. And so it's putting these words together. But then, you know, a lot of people have this question of what's next? You know, Tony and Lisa, great. We sat through the workshop. We did all this back and forth conversation with our words. And now we've got, you know, 7 to 10 words. What do we do with them? And, you know, in all honesty, if you have the word list and you don't do anything with it, you don't speak them over your marriage, you don't look at them on a regular basis, it's kind of like, and some of you may be able to relate to this, it's kind of like all of those pictures you've taken on your phone that have never actually made it to print. It's great that you took the picture, but if you don't actually look at it, if you don't put it up on your wall or put it in a photo album, it doesn't quite have the same significance. And that's the same thing with your word list. So we're going to tell you what to do next with those words.
Yeah. And you know what? You may be at a point where you've pulled these together and you're just sitting on them. You're marinating on them a little bit. Marinate on it a little if you need to, but don't wait, because what will happen is life will start happening to you. And before you know it, that list that you have with your workbook gets pushed under a desk or gets lost under your bed or it makes it to the recycling bin. And then that's all that time and your effort gone for naught. So don't let that happen, because we want you to be able to take those and look at those and be able to, you know, call into the One Extraordinary Marriage Show or email us and go, hey, Tony and Elisa, check out this picture. You know, this is what we did, and this is how we're using it in our own lives. You know, as we've been going over this workshop, even myself, I'm like, we have one beautiful one, and you guys saw a picture of it there earlier. And yet I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go get a couple of more of these made to have in my office, to have in other places, in my car. So that way it's with me. It's there. So make sure you do take the next step, because really all of this leads to being able to see it.
And that's the truth. Your list, it needs to be a visual reminder. I mean, we've shared throughout this workshop that this is the actual picture that we used to print out ours. We have ours hanging on, what is it? A 20 by 30, I think.
20 metal. By 30 metal.
Metal. So we're going to talk about some options, but you know, this list, it's a declaration of your family's identity, and it needs to be seen by everybody in the family. It needs to be seen by people that walk into your home. It needs to be, you know, not hidden behind, you know, grandma's picture on the, you know, the, all of the family pictures and things like that. It needs to be loud and up front so that everybody, your family and everybody that walks into your home, knows who you are and what you stand for. So really, it's got to get off the paper and onto the wall. And we've done the hard work for you in figuring out how to get it off the paper and onto the wall. Because once we've created our list, you know, like Tony said, we've had things that we've created end up in the recycling bin and end up under the pile of papers on Elisa's desk, guilty as charged. And so we knew we had to do something more with it. And the second part of that is that we knew that we weren't the most creative couple. And so what you see there would not have looked like that if we attempted to do it ourselves. Just
no.
Truth. So we started looking at those who are around us to actually be able to take this exercise to the next level so that it doesn't just become, you know, black and white, like, you know, you've written it down on your piece of paper and that's it. So the first thing that we realized that we needed was someone to make these words look pretty. And so we want you to meet Amanda. Amanda is the founder of Leech Creative here in San Diego, and she's so talented. And, you know, in addition to that, she is a newlywed. She got married last year, and she does so much of the design work for us here at One Extraordinary Marriage, and we found her so easy to work with. You know, and one of the things that we love about Amanda is her ability to take exactly what we say, or we do almost everything with her via email, and turn it into exactly what we have in mind. I mean, I sent her our list of words and I'm like, okay, this is kind of what I'm thinking. And she's like, okay, let me work up something for you. And then she sent it back. I'm like, no, I wasn't clear on what I was thinking. And so we got on the phone and I talked through it and she's like, I got it. And obviously she did get it because, you know, we've got a final piece there. So what she has done for the One Extraordinary Marriage family has created custom and semi-custom designs. In partnering with Amanda, we had asked her for three different options for all of you for the semi-custom package. And this allows you to choose one of three designs as pictured here. You get to choose your choice of three colors, because let's face it, the colors that we choose may not go in your homes. You know, I mean, not everybody likes blues and greens, and that's perfectly okay, because we want we want you to be able to choose the colors that best suit your color scheme. In addition to that, you get two revisions plus a final revision, and you get the high resolution image. And normally design work like this can cost you anywhere from, you know, $75 to $100. And she has been so generous with the One family. She, you know, being a newlywed, I think she loves what we do here talking about marriage. And so she's offering this package to the One family for only $57. Now, I know some of you are looking at this and going, okay, those designs are okay, but I want fully custom. Like, I want to be able to tell her, you know, I want words going this way and I want words going that way. And I want, you know, lots and lots of colors, like the one that she did there that's got like four or five colors on it. You know, that's what I want. And so she said, okay, you know, Tony and Lisa, I'll work with your folks. Absolutely. So for those of you that want a completely custom image from layout to color and everything like that, she's offering complete custom with four revisions and a final high resolution design for only $97. And that's normally at least $125.
If not more.
We've done a lot of design work over the years. And when she offered this pricing for the One family, I just about fell over in my chair because I was like, you're so generous. And, you know, what we've done too is, again, going back to your worksheets, is step seven. So pages 8 and 9 has all of Amanda's information. You can just click through online. You can click through those hyperlinks and it's going to take you right to either the semi-custom or the custom design. And it's going to just make it super easy for you. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to, you know, take all your information, get it to Amanda. She's going to contact you to get your words. And then she's going to start designing. You know, you tell her your words and you tell her your colors, and she's going to start creating magic for you, because off the paper and onto the wall is so important.
Yeah, and I want to say for Elisa and I, this was one of the toughest parts. In all honesty, I mean, we got those words done. Like, we got our list done on vacation. It was done. And we were just sitting on them. And we're not the creative types. If you're creative and you can go at it and go do it, man, God bless you. Because I think that sometimes is the tougher part for some folks is just going, well, what do I do now? And like I said, and Elisa said before, you know, your core values, they're important. They really are important to your family, to your marriage. Show them. Don't get hung up on this step. And that's one of the things we wanted to make sure we brought to you guys. putting this workshop together because we want you to be able to hang that proudly and look at that. No matter what's happening in your marriage, you can go look at that and go, this is who we are. This is what we stand for. Hey, do we do it great every single day? Probably not. Elisa and I don't. But we can look back at those words and go, you know what? That's what we stand for. Tomorrow's another day. Let's get going.
So once you have Amanda do the design work for you, or if you decide, because you're much more creative than we are, that you're going to do it yourself, the next step is taking that design and getting it up on the wall. And so we actually, in preparation for this workshop, got a couple of relationships going with two companies that we have printed with over the years and want to be able to share that with you. The first one is here. This is called Fracture. And Fracture prints on glass. And this was like an amazing discovery. Tony heard about Fracture on a podcast. And so we've got, you know, different pieces of Fracture printed glass throughout our home. And it's such a unique look because you don't often see glass everywhere. So what Fracture has done is, and all of this is in your workbook notes, but they have offered all of our One Extraordinary Marriage family a 15% discount if you enter the code one, and you don't have to remember that because again, we put it in your workbook for you. And we also put the link so that you can, if you click through that link, it's going to take you, you can put in the one code when you go to checkout. And like I said, they're going to give you a 15% discount on all of your purchases through them. And then to print everything else, so canvas, metal, wood, greeting cards, iPhone covers,
mugs,
blanket. I mean, you name it. Shutterfly prints everything. Interestingly enough, they don't print on glass, which is why we included Fracture. But what they have done is they have allowed us to extend to you all of their current promotions going through One Extraordinary Marriage. So whatever sales they've got going, you just click through here. They're going to extend it to you. And it just makes it super easy. And, you know, the other thing with Shutterfly is that you can also share it with family and things like that. So, you know, if somebody else is like, okay, you mentioned this core values workshop thing, like, you know, encourage them to check out the workshop because that's going to be a program after we finish the recording. They're going to be able to get it. But now you also can share it with them and get them excited about creating their own artwork. So at the end of the day, as we wrap up this workshop, it is our hope and desire, as we've been sharing with you for the last hour or so, that you will take the time to show the world what you value, what matters to you, your spouse, your kids, that you realize over the course of the last hour that we've spent together that having this blueprint, that having this time that you've invested in identifying your values and saying, you know what, this is what either what we've stood for and want to continue to stand for, or if you've never done it before, this is where we want to draw the line in the sand and say, this is who we're going to be known as. That you realize how important it is, and that you make the time over the next few days to actually sit down and, you know, maybe just start doing your individual word list by yourself. And then you set to sit down together and you include your kids if you have them. And then you take that next step and you reach out to Amanda and say, Amanda, we're ready. We want to get this design so that we can get it off the paper and onto the wall. And then you click through on Fracture or Shutterfly and you say, you know what? We want to see this. Not just us, you know, individually, but us as a family. And we want to show the world what we value. So we're right at 7:30, and I know that there was a question about that at the beginning. So we're right at the 1 hour mark. We are going to take questions and answers. So if any of you have any questions or answers, make sure to put them in the chat box. We can see that. We've been following that throughout the workshop.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we also got a couple that came in, so we will make sure to go over those as well. And so as we are going through the Q&A, we're going to just leave up our contact us slide for you. So if you want to check out anything that we're doing, you can go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com. And we also put the two links for the graphic options. So if you want a semi-custom option, you know, oneextraordinarymarriage.com/semi-custom, or you can go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/custom.
So a question that we had actually received via email was, we've been married 20 plus year, 20 plus years. Are you sure it's not too late for us? And the question the answer I would say to that is it's never too late to invest in your marriage. It's never too late to get to know each other better. It's never too late to say what matters to you. So, you know, again, I shared earlier in the workshop that there was a couple joining us that had been married 37 plus years. They thought it was important. So don't ever let somebody tell you you've been married so long that you can't do something new. Another question that came in, what if we have less than 10 words? I'm not going to be the word police and make sure that every word core values display has 10 words. What's most important is that the words that you choose to represent your family are words that resonate with the two of you, that you have come together to do this and that you have identified those words that are important to you. I mean, we have friends that did this and I think they had 5 or 6 words when they finished theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had one couple that ended up with 5 or 6, another couple that had like 9. So it's not set in stone with the words on how many you're going to have. You know, that's going to be through you guys looking at those and tweaking them to best fit who you guys are. When Elisa and I first got done, I think we ended up with like 14 words. And we just realized that, wow, that's a little too big. And so, you know, talking to others and helping some other folks through it, as well as ourselves, we just realized like 10 words is sort of like that max side you want to be on, because you start getting too much, it's like you're everything and not anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really sort of hone in on that 10. But if you have 5 solid words that you guys can hang your hats on, then go for it. I mean, that's great.
Another question that had come in on the email prior to was, I'm not sure my spouse would do this. How do I bring it up? And, you know, this always goes back to one of those communication exercises. So first of all, this is, you know, obviously working on your core values is a communication exercise. But I would approach it saying, you know what? We've been doing this marriage thing for a while without really having a plan. And let's just sit down and let's just try it, right? I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen is, you know, what, you get to know each other a little bit better? Well, in the general scheme of things, getting to know your spouse better is never a bad thing. And if that's the worst thing that happens, okay. You know, the best case scenario is that as you're discovering each other, you're drawing closer, you're creating a plan. And so it's just, you know, figuring out ways to share this with your spouse. Maybe because all of you that are listening to this, obviously you've got the audio recording. And so you're going to be able to say, hey, would you just listen to this? Or can we sit down and listen to this as part of date night? Or, hey, I heard these guys talking about this thing and I downloaded it and I don't know, it sounds like it might be a fun idea. I don't put it on us. I don't care what you say. You know, the important thing is that if it's important to you, you convey that it's something that you would like your spouse to participate in. And most of the time, if they find out that it's important to you, even if they have to grin and bear it until they get into the exercise, they'll do it for you.
Yeah. And one came in is, you know, would this be a good date night idea? And I'd say yes. I think, you know, there's a couple of ways you can attack this from a date night or a date day perspective. You know, with the audio, share the audio, you know, or the video, and let your spouse watch it or listen to it. So they have an idea what is going to happen during date time. And then during your date, have the workbook. Have it right there. Have the sheets all ready, because it's a great time to be able to, you know, go over those. You have, you know, you're ordering your meal, you know, you have some time in between. You're going over your list. Your food comes. You're talking to each other. You know, you're sitting across from each other. You're not in the house. You're away from all these distractions. Put your phones away, like we said earlier. But yeah, I think this would be an excellent place to start, you know, a date and start the core values for your family.
And let's face it, if you're doing it on date night, nobody's staring at their phones. That's a good thing. So this question just came in. How do you cope if your most important word doesn't show up on your partner's list? On the flip side, I'm worried he'll put one word on there just out of respect for me, even if that isn't a core value to him. And this goes back to in the workbook, there is that page. I'm pulling it up right now. It's step four, words that are only on one list, mine or yours. And I'm going to back up even a step before that, and say before that, that again, when you're doing your initial list, those words should be the words that are core values to you, not the values that you think your spouse wants to see on your list. And share that. If they haven't listened to this workshop, share it. Say, Tony and Elisa said, don't guess what I want you to put on the list. Just put down what you want. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're going to have those words that aren't going to appear on both lists. It's going to happen. And so part of it is saying, okay, can those words come together and both be words on our list? Like, you know, if my word doesn't show up on Tony's list, is it still so important to me that it will make it onto the final list? Some of those words did, and some of those words didn't. The same thing with Tony. There were words that he had as core values that I was willing to say, you know what? This would actually be one of our marriage core values. I will take that word and I'll own it, right? Because we're not talking about individual core values list. We're talking about creating the core values for your marriage. And so there is really, that's where the discussion comes in. That's where those empowerment phrases get used, because you want to come up with a combined word list of some of hers, some of his, some of the ones that you already have together, and create a comprehensive word list.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. And you know, it's working through that. It's a discussion process. I mean, that's part of the thing, is when we were going through this, there were those words and a couple on each side that, you know what, this is really what I stand for. And this is what I see us as a family that we stand for. And being able to use, you know, the empowerment phrases to say why and explain it and give examples. And so it's that process. Don't look at it and just go, oh, it's not on there, and so it's not going to happen. No, not at all. I think that's the real cool benefit of this, is that you guys are learning and you're intertwining.
Yes, I think.
Yeah, intertwining those words together. And yes, there were some words that, you know, Elisa looked at and she's like, no, that just doesn't fit. And, you know, I had to sit there and mull it over my head a little bit as we were going on some other words and go, you know what? Yeah, you know what? She's right. I'm looking at this and it really is, that word's all about me and not about our family, which is what this is. If you want to do this as an individual core values, you could do the same steps just for you and have probably similar words on a family core values as well, but maybe not all the same. Mm-hmm.
And just, we're going to be wrapping up here in just a little bit. There are a few more questions, but if you've got a question, you haven't asked it yet, feel free to put it up there. You can also mark your questions as private. So if you don't want it to be seen by everybody in the chat room, you can do that. Or, you know, if there's been something, we'd love to just get some feedback from you. If there's been something that you've really hit on or that we've hit on during this workshop that you're like, wow, I hadn't thought about that before. We'd love to know what those insights are. We'd love to know what your biggest takeaway is from the workshop as we just answer these last couple questions here. But you've got a few more minutes. Put the questions in there. I've got a couple more that I'm going to read. Somebody asked, what is it like to work with Amanda? And if you've never worked with a designer before, it can, you know, maybe you feel a little intimidated, like she's got all this knowledge and, you know, is she going to actually listen to me? Or, you know, is she going to be, you know, rigid and say it's got to be this way or things like that? Not in the least. The reason that we chose to partner with Amanda on this workshop and for doing the design work for us is that she has been one of the easiest designers that we've ever worked with. And we've done a lot of design work over the last 5.5, 6 years. And, you know, I mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Amanda, she listens, and she is ultimately, her goal is to deliver to you something that you are going to look at on a regular basis and be happy with and smile and think, that's it. That's what I wanted. So she's an absolute sweetheart. I can't say enough good things about her. And I'm so thrilled that she chose to partner with us on this. Another question that came in, you know, what types of things can we print our values on? And honestly, between Shutterfly and Fracture, The sky's the limit. Fracture is solely glass, but at Shutterfly, like we said earlier, you can do it on the mugs. You can do it on, I think they've got iPhone covers and iPad covers. I mean, wherever you want to have it. That's why I love hearing that Tony says, I think we need to have it, in a few other places. And I can see where that's going to go around our house, where we've all got kind of our core values going on there. So don't be limited by what you think you can do, because know that with the design options out there and the printing options out there, you can get it printed on whatever you want. So this question just came in. What about when one spouse is a believer and the other is not? Can this be a point of conflict when one spouse is fully committed to faith as a core value and the other is not? I'm guessing you're asking that question because it has already been a point of conflict. And so the answer to that is yes, it can be. And, in working through that, as a core value for, whichever spouse that is, faith or prayer, however you want to word that on there, it's going to be really working with your spouse and both of you coming to this exercise with an open mind and an open heart to be willing to listen to why this is a core value, to be willing to, explore what that looks like, to be able to explore, are there other words that you can, if faith is a point of contention for the two, if using the word faith is a point of contention, is there another word that allows you to be able to express yourself that your spouse would be comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
And allows you to still, make that declaration of who you are and what you believe, but is also a word that is comfortable for your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Some that come to me were prayer,
mm-hmm.
servant,
mm-hmm.
because, I believe even if you don't have faith, you still serve others. It could be at a nonprofit, it could be at your workplace. And so, those were two, prayer was another one that just, it came to my mind, because I think there are times when, prayer to me means, so much. And to you, it may be the same. And it may be, again, looking at the word. So it's not like faith. Now it's in your face and you got to look at it. But as a servant, we serve others. And for you, that may mean it is through your faith that you serve. And for your spouse, they may serve in a different way.
This will be, and you will all potentially have words that are like this, or you will have beliefs that, come into play like this question. And, what I want to make clear from the get-go is that, this exercise, doing this core values workshop, is not to beat each other up. I mean, there's a whole reason we gave you, five empowerment phrases that you can use. It's to bring you closer together. And, where some of your challenges are. Every couple does. And we don't want you to avoid those challenges. We just want you to come at them with grace and understanding. So I'm curious, we are out of questions. If there's anybody else that wants to get a last minute question in, please do so now. If you've got any insights on what you took away from this workshop or what you intend to do in the next couple of days, I would love to see some notes in there saying, we're going to do it this week and get our word list together, or, those types of things. Again, you can learn more about us. If if this is the first exposure you've seen to One Extraordinary Marriage, you can definitely hop on our website at oneextraordinarymarriage.com and learn all about us. You can find links to the podcast and to everything else that we offer folks around the world dealing with sex, love, and commitment. For those of you that are, when you're ready to jump into that semi-custom option, you just go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/semi-custom. Or if you are ready to fully customize your core values, go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/custom.
Okay, everybody, that concludes our core values workshop. And we just want to thank you so much for taking the time to learn this, to do something that, I'll tell you, most couples won't do this. They won't. And we really just want to say thank you for taking the time to make something happen in your marriage that's going to make a difference for many years to come. You took action. And that has to be and is applauded by Elisa and I. So we just thank you. And with the core value workshop, you know, get real with each other, get close, get a game plan for navigating all your most important decisions now and for years to come. We love you guys. Have yourselves a great day, and we will catch you again soon.